Good morning. It is great to be with you. If this is your first time with us, we are thrilled to have you for everyone. It's going to be a great day. You picked an awesome day. If this is your first time, we got food coming afterwards. Some of you may have seen that. Desserts are being put out. We got contests happening. We got Old Carolina's being catered in. Yeah, this is good. This is going to be fun. So I hope you can stay around and eat some food afterwards. But before we get into all that, we're going to talk a little. And something big's going on in the world right now. I mean, lots of things. But currently, Rio. Anyone watching? Yeah, and America has had some good times so far. The men's and women's swimming has been pretty dominant. Women's gymnastics, unbelievable. So many different things. But then track and field opened up, and for me personally, that's a close one to home. And there was this race that I don't know if anyone caught it. It's the 10,000 meter women's run. Anyone see this? Unbelievable. Like literally a race for the ages. I have a picture of the start here. 37 women went into this thing. Prior to this race, you have to know, only 5 women in history had ever run this race, which is 6.2 miles, in under 30 minutes. When this race took off, and I have another picture of, this is in the midst of the race, and that's Ayana, Almaz Ayana, who ended up taking the lead and racing in this. And what happened through the course of this is 8 women broke their country's national records. Like, unbelievable race. Our American Molly Huddle broke our American record by 9 seconds. Of the 37 runners, 18 women set personal bests. 18, like almost half, got their PRs in this race. The top 4 athletes finished in under 30 minutes. Only 5 in history had done that before. And then this is a picture of her at the winning with a new world record, Olympic record, her own nation's record of Ethiopia, 29:17:45, obliterated the old one by, I think, 14 or 17 seconds. In the finishing shot, there's pictures of, like, you know, how close is the end when they cross. There's an aerial shot. There's no one in the picture with her. She's that far ahead. The last finisher in this race was 5 laps behind. Unbelievable race. A race for the ages. And what's so awesome about this is that you look at one of the fastest races in history. And it's so fun to watch and so exciting to see all these championships and records being broken. And yet it pales in comparison to the greatest race the world has ever known, which is the life, the race of life that everyone is in. And the race that God calls us to in the race of faith. If you have your Bibles, you can turn. Actually, it won't matter. It's probably going to, no one's carrying the Message version, right? Anyone? All right, because that's what I'm actually going to read of. Awesome, someone is. Great, you can open your Bible. The rest of us, we're going to read on the screen. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And I want to use the Message for these two passages right here because I think it just articulates it in a way that we may know these verses, but to hear it this way is just awesome. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And I love that because it's almost like he's saying, go watch the game film. Look at what Jesus did. He's the greatest athlete ever. Go review. How did he do it? What did he do? Because it's amazing. And Paul had this same view. He wrote in a number of his letters, he described the Christian life as a race. And one of those churches that he wrote to was Galatians. And he said, you were running superbly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from the true course of obedience? This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. And I love that because he's saying that everyone has been called into this race. That there is the race of life, but then there's the race in the way that God wants us to live it. And Jesus knew we couldn't do it. So God sent his son, Jesus, he came, and he ran this race to perfection. And he's invited us into it to do with him. And it's significant for us today because this month we've been entering the school of prayer with the Apostle Paul, and we've been walking through Colossians, the small little prayer at the beginning of Colossians in 1, 9 through verse 14, and the prayer of Paul over the people of Colossae. And he prayed four main things for the people in this church, four things that are instructive for us, and I hope that we will pray for one another. If you're a parent, for your kids, for your wife, your spouse, your husband, whatever, for your extended family, people you're praying for, that you would pray these things. And these are the things that he prayed for: fruit, for knowledge, for strength, and attitude. And today we're going to be focusing on that third one. And I believe it is best understood in the context of running a race, as depicted here in the Bible, both what we are all called into and what Paul saw. And so we're going to see what strength Paul is praying about and how it can impact our running of this life of faith, this race that we are called to. So before we go any further, let me pray. Lord, I thank you that this aligns with the Olympics, Lord, so that we all have in our minds pictures of people racing who are sold out. They're fully committed to trying to win, Lord. Lord, I know that's what you've called us to. Lord, I thank you for your strength. I pray that you would give us eyes to see it afresh today. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to be humble enough to ask for it, God, and that we would be wise enough to live in it. Lord, teach us this morning in your name, Jesus. Amen. So if you do have a Bible, you can turn to Colossians now. We're going to stick with the NLT for most of this. So Colossians, this is the prayer. And if you don't have a Bible and you want one, we have free ones at the Info Center. We'd love for you to grab one before you leave today. And so this is the prayer that you've probably heard the last couple weeks if you've been here. I'm just going to read through it again. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. That's the first thing we were focused on. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better, talking about knowledge, knowing God and who he is. And then he moves to, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. And there was the word there for strengthened and power. There's two Greek words there. The power one is talking about is dunamis. It means might or power or marvelous works. And we talked a number of weeks ago that Jesus exercised dunamis. He walked in power. Everywhere he went, he taught with authority, and he did miracles that people were in awe of and marveled at his words and his actions. They were thunderstruck by his dunamis. And this is the power that he operated in. It was the power of God brought into the very presence of people, into this broken world, and they were in awe of watching it. Dunamo-o is empower, or to fill with power, to strengthen. It's not just talking about the power. It's saying this is the power literally in you, at work in you. And it's only used, this particular one is only used a couple times in the New Testament, once in Hebrews and then once in this passage in Colossians, in his prayer. And I think it's important that Paul says both of these, because he's saying there, the power that's there is this marvelous, glorious power. It's amazing. It's available. But I pray that it is at work in you. I want it to empower you, to be in you, to be at work. And I think this is really big for our current state, where it's like the next generation. It just seems like they want to be empowered, right? This is a big thing in culture. And what's awesome is this is at the heart of God. He's like, I want you to have power. I want to empower you. But it's not just like you get power and do what you want, go reign the world. No, it's power within relationship. That this power comes because the Holy Spirit, who is God, enters our life. And so it's power that is controllable, that's constrained, that's in line with God. It's not just free reign. It's like it's tied to this intimate relationship. And what's so mind-blowing about this is that his power is for us. His incredible power is for us. The same power that spoke everything into existence, the power to speak and the world is created, to breathe and the stars are formed, to lock the oceans in their reservoirs, to part the sea, to crumble strong walls, to change the hearts of kings, to overthrow rulers and thwart plans, to change water to wine, to open doors and shut doors never to be opened again, to walk on water, to calm the seas, to silence the storm, to heal the sick, restore sight to the blind, to give voice to the mute, to cast out evil spirits, to raise the dead, to forgive wrongs, the power to pay the price for sin for all, to overcome evil, to save people and set them free, to defeat death and the grave, to make all things new. His power is unmatchable. It's unimaginable. It's limitless. And it's for you. His power is for you. It's so incredible. And why would he do this? Why does he do this? Why does he want this amazing power to be available to us? And I think a big reason is because he knows that he made us out of dirt and we return to dirt. That's all we are. Even without his breath, we have no life. We are dependent on him, whether we know it or not. And this is what Paul understood when he said in Colossians, he says, we pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience. Notice that. You need. You need his strength. I need his strength. We all need his strength. We're in a race and we have a need for his power. And Jesus ran this race and he did it in power. It's how he made it. He depended upon the Father. And he even said that. He said, I can do nothing apart from the Father. This is Jesus, God's own son. And then when he taught, he actually talked about this vine and says, we need to be in him. And he says, you can do nothing without me. And if Jesus modeled that in the race, that he had to depend on the Father, how much more do we in this race need to depend on him? And at the end of his time, he had died, he had rose from the dead. And there's this little passage at the end of Luke 24 where he's gone to Bethany and he has all the disciples around him. And they're like, dude, you rose from the dead. This is amazing. This is so good. We're now, you know, this is it. We're setting up your kingdom, right? And then he says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. They're like, okay, that sounds good. And then Jesus kind of just starts lifting. Just descends into the clouds. And we know from the book of Acts, the same author, Luke, it actually says that they were like, you think he's coming back? I don't know. But that was cool. Right? And an angel shows up and actually has to say, hey guys, he's not coming back right now. He will return the same way he just left you, but not yet. So get on with it. And go wait until you receive power. And they did. And it was 40 days later when the earth shook and everything crazy showed up. The Holy Spirit enters as tongues of fire. They're filled with, and if you know the story, they went out. They're speaking in other languages, all kinds of craziness. 5,000 come to Christ. It's amazing. They were filled with God's power. And what I love about that is that in that moment, we know that Boeing 747s, it says they take 6 million parts to get a 747 to fly and stay in the air. 6 million parts. Jesus, one part. God's power. Right? I mean, it's incredible. This is the power that is available to us. It's dunamis, and he wants it in us. In Colossians, this is what Paul is getting at. He says, we need it. We need this same power. And that's why Jesus even said, you need to go and wait for this power. Before you go do anything in my name for this kingdom, you're going to need my power. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. And he says, and I want you to have this power so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. Endurance and patience, two things there. Endurance is about bearing up under pressure and circumstances. Patience is about long-suffering with others in relationships. So one is more focused, and there is a patient enduring when you look into the Greek on that, what enduring is, but it's really about circumstances, the things that are coming at us in life, whereas patience is kind of in the relationships with others. And what's interesting is if you look at that 10,000-meter race and all the previous Olympics, the many that have happened in the last decade, many of those, when they've happened on the World Championships or the Olympics, it's been horrible conditions. Super hot, not really good. The conditions are just not good. On this particular morning in Rio, when they ran this amazing fastest race in history with all these PRs, it was cool. It was in the 60s. It was overcast. There was a bit of drizzle. It's like a racer's paradise. And not only that, the runners, they were like, yeah, we can do this. And beyond that, someone went and said, I'm going for it. And she just went. And it said that lead pack tried to stay with her. And the American said, I just hoped to be close enough to the front because that was my strategy. I just stay close enough to the front, maybe a few will fade off at the end and I can pick them off and get on the medal stand. And that American, she shaved 9 seconds off her time, set an American record. It said that her time was fast enough in like the last 6 Olympics, she would have medaled. But not in this one. She took 5th. It was that fast. The conditions were good. And the relationships, if you think of a race, you have the conditions, but you also have the other runners. We're running this race with other people, and sometimes that's where we need the most patience. That the conditions in our life aren't the big thing, it's the relationships. Maybe in a marriage or with a child or whatever happened, and sometimes it is circumstances, jobs or loss or theft. All kinds of things get thrown in our path. And this is why Paul is praying this, is he understands this so well. There was a point where he wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, a second letter, because the first one went so well. And in the second letter, he writes to them. They're at this point kind of calling him out, like, I don't know if he's really an apostle, or he's just not so good, he hasn't worked that hard. And he's like, all right, listen up. I'm crazy for saying this, but he goes into it, and here's what he says. He says, I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Why 39? Because 40 was considered execution. So they gave him pretty much as close as we could to death. And he got that 5 different times. 3 times he was beaten with rods. We know that rods was a Roman punishment. So not just the Jews are punishing, the Gentiles are punishing, the Romans are. And there were times where he used his Roman identity to get out of stuff, but at least 3 times he took the beating with the rods. Once I was stoned. We know this story in the book of Acts. He was stoned and they thought he was dead. They drug him out, left him for dead. And his fellow believers found him and they thought he was dead. And it says they saw life and they just kind of nursed him back to health. I mean, if they didn't come, he was toast. He was stoned. And then it goes on, it says, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I'm like, really, Paul, dude? That would have happened to me once. I'd be like, maybe boats aren't good. Maybe I'll take the long road. It says he was once shipwrecked, spent the whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys and I faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the desert, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to believe but are not. So we're not just circumstances now, we're getting relational. I've worked hard and long and during many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And notice this. Then besides all this, I have daily burden of my concern for all the churches. That like above everything he's gone through, he's most burdened by the church. His concerns, who is weak without my feeling that weakness, who is led astray and I do not burn with anger. And the English on that's a little confusing. I think the message is really helpful. It says, when someone gets in to the end of his rope, I feel the desperation in my bones. When someone is duped into sin, an angry fire burns in my gut. So on top of everything else, Paul's heart for the church, for the people, the believers, the followers of Christ is what weighed him down the most. And that list of what he's been through is ridiculous. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? When I look at my life of faith and I go, yeah, I guess getting up early to pray isn't so bad, isn't so hard. I missed a half hour of sleep. You spent all night in the ocean. And the race that we're called to is tough and challenging. Paul knows that we need endurance and we need to have patience. And we all go through hardships, challenges, and sufferings. And this has been coming really more and more in my own mind because I've been training for a marathon. I'm actually halfway through the training. It's not that amazing. I'm just hoping to get through this thing. Not going to be fast, not winning any awards. And so I get halfway through this training and I decided to go run a trail marathon. My wife was behind it. It was awesome. And I wanted to go to one that seemed really good. It was like 2 hours away. But I was like, I didn't want to spend that much time. So I went to one that was an hour away. It was in Lowell, Michigan. And it was brutal. They ran this race out of the city and then you'd hit the trail. And it was like normal times, like fast runners who can do 6-minute miles. That was kind of the pace. They moved it 5 years ago out to this, like, the North Country Trail section. No one has done better than an 8-minute pace on this. And I have a map, which this should have been a clue when I signed up for this thing, that this was literally the map online. I'm like, what am I getting myself into? I couldn't believe it when I saw that. And so I go to this thing, and you start right there kind of by the square in the river with the fish. And you run around, and then you cross this bridge, and then you go around this little red section, and then do you see all this jogginess? Yeah, that's hills. And like, horrible. And I got to that point, it's 6 miles in the race, I'd been like 9 minute pace, I'm like, this is great. I hit that section, you go over the one hill, and then they give, and they name them all, which is awful. You're like on this one, and it says, what's it say? It's like Ed, and like halfway up, there's a sign that says, Fred, I'm twice as big. So you're just like, sweet, this is gonna be great. And you're running through this section, and you go over the first hill, and then there's this thing called Larry, which is like a quarter mile of mud that you think you can like cross a log on, and you're like, yeah, I made it. I'm not that muddy. Only to turn the corner, and it's just like, there's no way. You just gotta go through it. So you get through it, only to get to these huge hills, and they're just like demoralizing. There's ropes up some of them to get up and then get down. I mean, it's just crazy. And I was running a great 9 minute pace until I hit this. And then after the race, I went back and I was like, what was my pace through that 2 mile split right there? 15 minutes. It took me 30 minutes to get through these 2 miles. All right, 9 women in history, 4 at the Rio Olympics, ran 6 miles faster than I got through that section. And that's why I think there's something important for us. Like, we're all gonna have parts of our life that are like this, that are just crazy, ridiculous. And we're gonna look around and be like, oh, it's so frustrating. Their conditions aren't like that, or they don't have relationships like that. Like, there's a section on the trail that I'm like running, and I felt bad because I'm stuck behind 4 people, and there's no way around. It's a trail run. This is it. You can't pass anyone. And there's like 6 people, and I just hear him like right on me. I'm like, that guy he just kind of wants to go, and he can't. He's stuck. He has to have patience with the people in front of him until we get to a section where he could go around, which, you know, had many opportunities on the hills, because we were not running up all those very well. And so as I went through this, it was interesting because there was a 7-time champion, the winner, because this is a 2-lap marathon. I did 1 lap and was like, thank you, I'm done, I'm out of here. And I was like, and people are going to go do that again. Crazy. And that little bridge there, as I'm coming back across it, just to turn the corner, last corner I'm going to finish, there's a guy coming at me. And I realized in that moment, I was like, he had a beard, and I was like, there's just something about him. He just looks strong. I mean, like, this guy is just hauling. And he just looks at me, he goes, great job. You're almost there. Like, you know, it sounded like some amazing commando guy. And I was like, I wanted to say something back, right? And I'm just like, I can't even breathe. I'm like, just trying to get there. Thank you. Come to find out, that was the winner. His name is Ben. He's won this thing 7 times. He was 4 miles ahead of me. 4 miles ahead of me. And acted like it was no big deal. Amazing. And so others around us are going to have and have gone before us and can encourage us. And you maybe have gone through something like that, and you can encourage someone else. And God wants to do that in your life. Because there's times where we just can't get through this stuff on our own. There's times where we need encouragement when life is giving us the hills and the mud and the craziness. And one of the strongest individuals I have ever met is my mother-in-law. This is a picture of her, Nancy. That's my son, Zachariah, there. And she is a beautiful young woman of 67 years. Doesn't that look awesome? Amazing for 67? She's actually 76. 76 years old. Yes, she looks phenomenal. And what's amazing is that she entered this hilly season with this mud and this craziness 14 years ago. She was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. She has been battling this for 14 years. She has gone through R-CHOP chemo, radiation, high-dose chemo, a bone marrow transplant, high-dose radiation, 3 different oral chemo pills. One was experimental, at least 3 times with the immunotherapy, radioimmunotherapy. And all along the way, she's had meningitis, both viral and bacterial. She's had pneumonias, countless colds. She's had weight loss, hair loss, hearing loss, everything that goes with this territory. She's gotten ambulance rides multiple times from Kalamazoo to the U of M hospital. She even got an air flight one time. It was so bad. Got to ride in a helicopter. And we've had many conversations. She's had questions and doubts and fears, but never once has she mistrusted Jesus or complained. Unbelievable. She can get a little cranky at times, which is understandable, but she's never complained about this road and about the race that God has marked out for her. And what's crazy for us is we are in this with her. A lot of times we've been like the epicenter, the home for it, and we watch this, and it's just brutal. And we've met other people, and we've had friends and family members who have gone down this road of cancer, and they're gone in 6 months. And God said, your race ends here. Come home. And for 14 years, she just keeps going and going. And she is such a fierce fighter and a warrior in God's kingdom. A prayer warrior. She's running to win the race. And it's inspiring and it's beautiful. It's one of the hardest and most broken courses that I've ever seen. Puts things in perspective. And this is the same thing that Paul, he went on to say, that it wasn't just all the stuff he suffered, but he had physical ailment too. He said he had a thorn in his flesh, and it says, 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And that message says in that part, it says, my strength comes into its own in your weakness. You see, this is the secret about strength for this race of faith, that it's not only his power is for us, his power is perfect in us. His power is perfect in you. He can turn weakness into strength. He turns disadvantage to advantage. We were made broken and empty so that his great power could fill us and bring glory to himself. Like a little humble bowl, unassuming as it is, but filled with a treasure of beauty. This is our life. And he knows that our race is going to have tragedy and hardship and suffering, and there could be persecution. The stuff that Christians are dealing with around the world right now makes our world seem so great. And I don't know what is in store for you, what big hills or muddy swamps are going to come your way, but your race is likely going to go into some. And that is the time where we can draw on God's strength. And a question I have is, a lot of times we think our brokenness needs to be made perfect before he can come in and do anything. And that's not what it is. He's not like, get yourself right and I'll show up. He's the doctor that says, you're a mess, let me help. So what wounds have I not let him attend to? What heartaches have I not let him comfort me in? What frustrations, questions, or doubts have I not let him speak into? Are there hardships in the race of life that you're going through right now that you need his strength to carry you on? To have the endurance and the patience you need. Because some of us think our brokenness is a boundary or a barricade or a barrier to God, and it's not. Our brokenness is the perfect place for his power and beauty to come in, to bring restorative love and grace, to give us endurance and patience, to just keep going. And to practically, how do we do this? Just to be practical, I did some research, and John Piper is a great 5 steps. Here they are. Admit, pray, trust, act, and thank. And he said, if you want to remember that, it rhymes with cap that, at tap. I mean, that's John Piper for you, right? Brilliant, not the stickiest of coming up with phrases. But he says, admit your need for him. Pray for his help. And then the big one is trust his promises. What promises of his word are you going to cling to? A simple one is that he says, in Christ, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Like some universal promises that you can cling to in all areas, that you can trust in, that you act and live by faith, expecting him to show up, and then you thank him for the help that you receive. And what's awesome is when I read through this and I came across this, I was like, man, that is Nancy. That's my mother-in-law. She does this every single day. She admits that she needs him. She prays for his help. She has trusted his promises for decades. And then she lives by faith, expecting him to show up and give her the strength for another day. And she thanks him for every day she has. And what's brutal is the hills that she's been in her life. Honestly, God has used her journey of suffering physically to strengthen our family in countless ways. And we all have stuff like this. That's why why Paul, knowing this in Colossians, when he says, I'm praying, that's why the third thing he prayed for people was that you would have strength with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience that you need in life. And we need this in our church. We need this prayer for one another to be strengthened, to have endurance and patience. Some are in hard times right now, and I don't know where the road is going to go. But I love that our strength comes from the Lord. And this is what's really cool, is that story of the 10,000 meter runner. It was such a fast race. There is question, you know, they're wondering, did she dope or anything? And what's awesome is in the interview when this came up, she actually turned to them and she said, "My doping is my training and my doping is Jesus. Otherwise, I'm crystal clear." And I thought, man, if doping is like where you get strength, they're asking, where do you get the strength? And she said, it's my training and it's Jesus. And I hope there's never found an accusation, because what a story. This is going to go down in history forever, a story for the ages. And my prayer for us today is this, and I'm just going to put it up here, and I'm going to close in prayer, and you may even want to take a picture of this, but this is what I want us all to be living at, that we would say, Jesus, I thank you that your power is for me and made perfect in me. Jesus, strengthen me and help me endure this race called life and have patience with my fellow runners. Jesus, I need you today. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for how you give us power, Lord, that you came to this very race you've called us to, that you went through everything, that you endured hardships and tragedy. Lord, that you suffered with people and had patience. Lord, that your strength was evident to all. It was mind-blowing, Lord. And then you turned around and you give it to us. Lord, I pray that we would ask for it in our life, that we would be wise enough to live in it. And Lord, as a result, people would see your glory as we just continue on in this race. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.